To kick off the hour, our hockey insider Darren Dreger joining us in studio. What's up, Dregs?
Not a bad day. No.
Everything's going
NHL
well or what?
Trade, no complaints.
Yeah, where did this come from? I mean, Pittsburgh and LA make a trade that I guess on the surface makes sense, and the Kings are a disaster. Pittsburgh's not off to a great start.
Yeah.
But Tanner Pearson for Carl Hagelin.
I mean, this is vintage Jimmy Rutherford. I mean, Tanner Pearson has been on his radar, I would say, for quite some time. And you don't have to be a veteran GM to pay attention to what's going on with other clubs. And Pearson was not, you know, scoring goals, wasn't producing offense for the Los Angeles Kings, did not fit the eye of John Stevens. John Stevens gets fired. Willie Desjardins comes in. And that didn't spark much out of Tanner Pearson either. So Rutherford jumps in there, probably had to give up more than he wanted in Carl Hagelin, who also wasn't producing, but is a very popular guy for the Pittsburgh Penguins. But, you know, it's a bit of a reclamation project here. I mean, Jimmy believes that given the right opportunity, played the right way, that Tanner Pearson is going to refine his scoring touch, and he's got some cost certainty there for a couple of seasons.
I didn't mind the trade, actually, for both sides. But for Pittsburgh, I think it was technically an upgrade. And I know Hagelin's a terrific skater and kills penalties. But Pearson, for me, has been more consistent as far as scoring. And I think he's a bigger body sometimes when you're looking at playing against the Washingtons. Yeah. And I know the league is trending into smaller body situation. But you still have to win some battles and pull pucks off the boards, and
he's got to have to turn it around though, Jamie. I've watched, I'm
well,
like,
I agree.
I can't find you. Where are you?
I'm not convinced he thinks the game at the, you know, the level other players do. I mean, I think Pearson's a really good player, but I don't think I think there's more there. And it's almost like when Hagelin went to Pittsburgh, was that for Perron? I can't remember how
he went from Anaheim.
It was Anaheim. I think it was David Perron.
It was a one for one deal. Yeah. Though.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was. It was a right-handed shot. But
Hagelin was a no-go in Anaheim.
Exactly. And sometimes we're seeing, you know, there was a nice article today talking about players' change of scenery and maybe it works out. You know, Max Domi and Galchenyuk's still going to be a very good player down there. But it's nice to see. I think Pearson will flourish. He's 26. You're right, cost certainty. And what if he gets to play with Malkin?
Or Sid.
Well, exactly.
I mean, assuming then, Crosby's healthy enough.
Exactly. So he gets to play with one of those superstars, be a Pascal Dupuis, be a Chris Kunitz,
sure.
and be hard to play against, and get your stick on the ice and go to the net. This could really work out for Pitt.
Well, Jim Rutherford, the GM down there, man, he is never shy, right?
No.
And Pittsburgh is not off to a great start. And we're talking about this in the previous hour that Pittsburgh and Washington, I think they're lucky they're in the division they're in,
right,
that they don't have to be too scared. Like the Islanders and the Rangers currently are in playoff spots. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think those two teams are going to keep it up and get to mid-90s in points. So kind of allows you the luxury of, okay, slow start, but you got to feel pretty good about those two teams getting it together at some point, Washington.
I would think so. And look, I think that, you know, Jimmy is also recognizing clearly that the window is closing.
Right.
The opportunity to win another Stanley Cup gets less and less, you know, every year. So he didn't like the chemistry, doesn't like what's happening with this team. So you start on the smaller side, and even smaller than that might have been a deal involving Daniel Sprong, whose name has been out there for, you know, weeks now. But, you know, he upgrades with Tanner Pearson. Now let's see what happens. If it doesn't spark anything, and it may not, although sometimes just
then
a simple change like this, I don't know that he would be in season, but I'll tell you what. If no team convinces Joel Quenneville to coach this season,
they're nuts.
All bets are off for the offseason in terms of the lookers who are going to be in that market.
Right.
You know, if things don't go the well that the Penguins hope, they don't contend, why wouldn't they consider that? Likewise with Tampa Bay. You know, go down the list. I mean, it makes perfect sense. And I, you know, not to take the conversation in that direction, but I don't know that Joel wants to dive back into the league unless it's a no-brainer, like an opportunity to win another Stanley Cup in season. Otherwise, wait and have a look at what the landscape
shows. But he also has to be careful, too, and if we're going to head down that path. Jimmy Rutherford just said, I'm going to take another stab at this. Like, his core is getting older. And that's the one thing. Do you want to jump on a ship that could trend...
Could be sinking soon.
Could trend, you know, south sooner than later?
Yeah.
I know Sid and Gino are outliers, but, you know, Phil's going to hit an expiration date. And then, you know, Matt Murray still hasn't pushed through as this super elite goaltender. He's a winner, yeah, but he's not a 65-70 game starter. I don't know many goalies are now, but I think... And Jimmy Rutherford was on our show the other day. When was that? About a month ago? Saying, like, I don't even have draft picks to trade anymore. He was kind of joking, saying, like, hey, we're in a win now. Yeah. So you are doubling down. But if I'm Q, I'm looking more at, you know, I don't think his job is in jeopardy, but, like, a Buffalo situation, you know, something like that where the team is trending in the right direction, you know, if it happens. And I'm not suggesting any coaches, but Q's got to be careful. That's what I'm
saying. Yes. Like, Edmonton is a team that always comes up because of what happened a year ago.
That could be.
They won last night, and it was a stroke of genius by McClellan because the McDavid-Draisaitl tandem is just ridiculous. And when they're on, they were on last night. It was a blast to watch.
Chewed Montreal up.
Chewed them up. But, you know, That's such an interesting team because with McDavid, like TSN unveiled their core four under 24 today, and Edmonton is number one. And I saw Craig do a bit on it, and he basically said McDavid and then the rest of the league. And I can't even disagree with that. I mean, the Leafs were at number two, but McDavid is so good. Even though the rest of the team has so many weaknesses, I would think a guy like Quinville, if it came up, he'd be like, I'll attach my wagon to McDavid and let's hope everything else falls in line.
That's a good point.
Maybe.
Like, wouldn't you have to? Like, he's the best player in the world.
Maybe,
he's 22.
But I don't know about that, man. Like, I hear you. Of course you want to attach yourself to the best player, and I'm on that side of Connor being the best. But look at the work that Picciarelli, assuming he's going to be the general manager moving forward, has to do to surround this guy with some pieces that put you into contending status. And start wherever you want. Start in goal. Like, I'm a believer in Cam Talbot. He didn't have a good game the other night. He gave up 3 goals and 15 shots. But there's some question marks there. There's question marks on the defense. There's question marks all the way around their forward core. I mean, do you hitch your wagon to one player and then hope that your general manager in the next couple, 3 years can surround him? And with what, you know?
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. I personally think it's two players. I think Draisaitl's a superstar.
I
would agree with that.
Here's the thing. He's an exceptional player, but he, like, when he lights it up, he's always with 97. It seems that way.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't a couple years ago in the playoffs. He had his own line and he crushed.
Yeah, but 2 years ago he had 79 points. Like, I think he's a 80 to 90 point player.
On his own, though.
I think he can do it on his own. He's a very, very good player.
But what's wrong with playing them?
No,
as
but
a line?
I'm just saying.
I hear you. But look at Mikko. Like, Mikko Rantanen's an example.
Right.
You know, like, he's burgeoning into a superstar.
Right.
He's playing with McKinnon now. He carries his own weight. There's no disputing that. But is Rantanen doing that without McKinnon?
I don't think so. I know what you're saying. You're right. But I look at the skill set of Draisaitl. I think he's big. He's strong. He handles the puck really well, and he shoots the puck a ton.
Yeah.
The only knock I could see on him as far is young players' consistency, and I think he likes to, a little bit like McDavid out there, rest during shifts, because they'll like, I was watching last night, like, they're, you know, over a minute, Draisaitl's still out there, there's a change. He goes back to get the puck and then goes end-to-end, whereas other players would chip it in at the red line going, hey, my shift's over. No, I'm going. Like, I'm actually, I think he's, I don't disagree with your sentiment, but I think he's a lot better than people think. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a
good legit
player.
Star. There's no question about that. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider in studio. Speaking of windows, you know, we all expected the Leafs would be in one coming into this season, and now without Matthews, they're 4-3. Nylander hasn't been here all year, as we know, and they're still a point out of first overall in the league, or in the East anyway.
Yeah,
they're in the window. Like, right now. So, putting Nylander aside, what else do you think is going to get cooking between now and the deadline? They've got to be thinking, hey, we could make a move or two. Why wouldn't they? They're one of the top five teams in the league.
Well, look, and I don't know that we need to beat up their defense. It's okay. On some nights, better than okay. Their top four is as good as a lot of teams' top four. But what's changed there? You know, at the start of the year, the impression that I was given from the Toronto Maple Leafs was that they felt like they needed to add another defenseman to legitimately get in the contention or the run mode, as Babcock described preseason. I don't think that changes. You know, we look at William Nylander potentially being the currency, right, to encourage something like that. But it's way too early. It's still way too early, and way too early for the Maple Leafs. I mean, they're probably still test driving some of their guys internally to figure out what they've got.
Yeah.
You know, why go shopping for a 5'6 guy if that 5'6 guy is already there?
I feel like two words have kind of calmed the masses on the back end. Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
So we're so focused on how amazing he's playing. The rest of the core is kind of just falling in, and now we're not really looking. You know, it's Odoganoff. He's a guy who still I'm not.
He threw a backhand sausage last night, didn't he?
That was a delivery. 30 minutes or it's free. I haven't seen a pizza like that in a long.
I always have a golden rule in your own zone. Do not go on your backhand, and that was.
It happened.
I'm telling you, boys, and look, Mike Babcock is an excellent judge of talent. So what I'm about to say is going to sound pretty critical. But I remember overseas him telling me about Kalle Rosén and Borgman. Yeah. And these two guys are going to be really, really good NHL defensemen. Well, I guess I didn't push them hard enough to find out what year.
Right.
You know? Now, they might develop into decent depth guys, you know, in fairness, given an opportunity. Ozhiganov, for me, is right in there with those guys. Is he slightly better? I think we need a little bit more time.
The jury's still out, yeah.
But he was the guy coming into training camp that the Toronto Maple Leafs had a red marker circled around as being the defenseman that could fill the need so that they wouldn't have to go shopping.
Right.
And I'm not so sure yet.
No, I'm not convinced
kind of
that either.
Zaitsev from a couple years ago. We didn't know him and kind of, you know, waiting to see.
But he hit the ground running. Like, his rookie year was maybe his
Zaitsev,
best year.
Oh, I agree, but that's why I'm waiting for Odoganov to do that.
Yeah.
Do you get a top four for Nylander?
Well, you have to.
Well, I know you have to, but do you? I mean, so now I say that because, again, we're always working on this story, right? A couple of teams yesterday flat out said, look, we like him. There's an abundance of teams that like William Nylander. You'd be crazy not to like the guy. We don't feel like he's a game breaker. He's a support player. He's a good player. And the assets that Toronto is going to need to make that move, too disruptive. So we're probably not interested. And the word is top 4D. And in a perfect world, they'd bring in a top 9 forward to go along with it. And maybe that allows you. I mean, Josh Leivel's a fourth line guy now anyway. Maybe Janssen goes down to the fourth line, and you're really deep up front.
Right. Well,
but you got to get that top four.
But the thing is about the top four, they were talking about this on the lunch, and, and Johnny made the point. He's like, when you think top four, it means second pairing, because if you might as well say top two if you're saying a stud.
Right.
So really, if you say top four, you're saying a third or fourth defenseman.
And it's going to be somebody better than Ron Hainsey, but Ron Hainsey happens to play on the top pairing.
Right, but you know, if it let's say now it would be a younger guy than Ron Hainsey, but he brings you the equivalent of what Ron Hainsey brings, you can't make that trade.
Was Brad Pesce a top four for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think he would be.
But the name that always sticks out for me, I'm a fan of it, is like Dumba.
Yeah,
I think Dumba would be now. Again, we're just spitballing.
But his name's out there for whatever that means.
But I like
it's been for 3 years.
But I think Dumba's a guy who would change the look of that a little bit, because he can, if you're looking at Jake Gardner and his potential exit, if people are talking, I don't know. Like, I think a guy like Dumba could reshape the back end a little bit. He's got some jam. I don't even know if he's available. I don't know if that's a fit. I always caution now, and we're looking at it, we'll judge people. If Brett Pesce shows up here and Nylander goes somewhere else and gets, or to Carolina and gets 75 points, and Pesce gets 28.
Yeah, it's going to be a bad deal.
People
it's
are
a tough
like,
comparison.
Oh, you know, like you almost have to go apples for apples in a certain situation. That's why I don't know if the fit is out there.
Well, the problem is the timing, right? If the deadline was February 1st or 15th, you know, maybe a Dumba or Spurgeon or somebody like that from the Minnesota Wild makes some sense.
Yeah.
You know, right now, the Minnesota Wild are playing good hockey.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got their own cap issues that they're going to have to wrestle with moving forward. So, you know, to break apart their defense, it gets pretty complicated.
Well, and that's why I've stated, I mean, I think everyone can agree with this, that the idea of him not playing hockey this year is a nuclear option. It's a ridiculous option. I can't believe it's even being contemplated, but it is because we're only a few weeks out. I think if they don't get a deal done and they don't trade him by December 1st, that's effectively a trade demand from Nylander and being put on the block by the Leafs. I don't see him playing another game for them.
Yeah.
But I would rather a quality trade next July than a bad trade this November.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to make a trade to make a trade.
You get more in the offseason, no question. I had someone tell me today, and maybe this has happened. I mean, you're never going to get Dubas on record or otherwise to confirm this. There's got to be a Toronto Maple Leaf drop dead point that isn't December 1st. Maybe it's November 28th, right?
Hmm.
Whereby Dubas says to Louis Gross and Michael Nylander, you have three options. You've got a two-year bridge and a three-year bridge. Here's the money on those bridge deals. And there's a six-year term on the table at less than $7 million, or maybe it's $7 million. Maybe the Maple Leafs come up and say, look, we went above our comfort zone. Let's get this done. But if you don't have an answer for us by the 28th of November, noon Eastern, then we're getting the wheels in motion because we need the 3-4 days to figure out the best trade option. Doesn't that make sense? That has to be the end game here.
You would
at
think
this
so.
Stage. It has to be.
Yeah, you would think so. And thankfully, I mean, we're getting closer to some sort of a resolution, one way or the other. Finally. All right, Drex. Good seeing you, man. Thanks for popping in studio.
You guys look good today.
Picture day.
Picture day.
Did you have your photo shoots today or
no,
what?
No, I wasn't invited.
Oh, really?
Well, you look the same.
Why I think we should start going suit up every day.
No. I can't. I was dying to do baseball cap and T-shirt today, and we had to have these pictures. I've got nothing else. I've got the show, and I get to go home. I wanted jeans, T-shirt, and a hat.
Grubby.
I got to dress up.
Yeah, that does suck for you.
You know what? I don't always like wearing a tie, but I mean, you got to get dressed. I mean, if it's not summer,
Greg,
you're in shorts
think,
and
like,
a T-shirt.
Don't you think, like, if you watch ESPN in the States, like, they're loosening it up. Like, why do we need ties? Like,
you're talking about on the panel and stuff.
Oh yeah, like
that's the old Sportsnet days. No ties. Got absolutely.
You don't say that.
You got like chest hair going and stuff. Like that would be my concern. You lose a button
right
all of a sudden.
Is this acceptable to do a panel with
Ron Duguay?
Yeah. I mean, if you run an iron over that shirt, maybe.
Okay, Darren.
Didn't like that comment. High and inside on the big guy.
I still love you all.
Yeah, we got to go to commercial here.
Good seeing you, Dregs. There's Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider.